good to be with you today. I'm looking forward to our meeting starting this Saturday. I want to encourage you to be here and to invite others to be here as well. Some of you have been here for a while. You remember that Kevin has preached a meeting for us before in the past. And when Sister Pass was here, she kept asking me, where are we going to have Kevin Clark at? Because he does an excellent job. He's not a preacher by trade. He's a lawyer for Lightfoot Franklin in Birmingham, but he's in great demand as a speaker because he preaches the truth and he does it in a very understandable way, and you will benefit from being here, and whoever you may invite to come, they'll benefit as well. So please encourage people to come and make plans to be here yourself starting Saturday night. This morning we want to talk about the subject of what does it mean to lift up Jesus. There's three different occasions when Jesus made the statement that the Son of Man must be lifted up. He made that statement in John chapter 3, verse 14, when he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And also in John chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that nothing I do on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And also in John chapter 12, in verse 32, He says, when I am lifted up from the earth, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And when we hear this phrase, lift up Jesus, sometimes people hear this phrase and they think that what it means is that people ought to lift up Jesus, to praise Him and to glorify Him. And it certainly is true that Jesus needs to be glorified and praised. We need to do that. Philippians chapter 2 says that God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. So, you know, that tells us that Jesus is someone that we should praise and adore and glorify. But these passages that talk about lifting up Jesus don't talk about glorifying Him or praising Him. They're talking about something else. Rather than speaking about lifting up Jesus in praise, a lot of people might be shocked to learn what these passages are talking about. It's death. When the Bible shows up the lifting up of Christ, it shows us something that's really very ugly. And it demonstrates the wickedness of man. So when the lifting up of Christ, you know, means good news for the man that's guilty of sin, the idea of Christ being lifted up meant that people were rejecting Him. That what was going to happen when He was lifted up is He was going to be humiliated and that He was going to be rejected, which was prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces, He was despised and we esteemed Him not. So when men despised and rejected Him, they lifted Him up to die on the cross. So we want to look at these three passages and see what we can learn from them as they relate to our Savior's death and understand what Jesus meant when He said that I was going to be lifted up. In John chapter 3, verse 14, as we just read, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus here in John chapter 3 is speaking to Nicodemus, and He tells Nicodemus what His purpose is in coming in to the world. And what Jesus is referencing is the passage Noah Gassaway read for us this morning, Numbers chapter 21. And this is when the people of Israel were bitten by serpents because of their murmuring. And the people were complaining about the food that they were eating, the type of food that they were eating. And when they were bitten by the serpents, many of them died. And they couldn't be healed by human means. And what God told Moses was to go and make a brazen serpent. And at the command of God, when the people looked upon the brazen serpent, they were healed. And this illustrates the action and the effect of the death of Christ. The action is that Jesus was going to be lifted up on a tree, you know, just as the serpent. So when Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus is talking about the kind of death with which He is going to die. So Jesus not only knew He was going to die, He knew the means by which He would die, or He would be lifted up on a cross. And the effect is that men would be saved by looking to Him. Men can't be saved by human means. Just as the people of Israel that had been bitten by the snake, they needed to do what God said in order to be healed. We need to do the same thing. We need to do what God tells us to do, and that's to look upon Jesus. Jesus has provided Jesus to die on the tree, and it provides a means of salvation. That's what Jesus is saying. Just as Moses had them look upon the serpent in the wilderness, so must I be lifted up. And so those who are in obedience to God, they're the ones that are looking to Christ for their salvation from their sins. So the question for us, and the question for everyone, in fact, is have we looked upon the One who was lifted up in order that we can be saved? So you see, lifting up Christ is talking about the means by which He died. And we need to look upon Him. And so in the process of time, Israel understood, should have understood what the purpose was of the brazen serpent. But, you know, as time went on, they began to get away from the purpose of that, and they began to glorify that symbol rather than God. They misunderstood what it represented. But the saving power was in God and not in the bronze serpent. And God commanded them to look and to be healed. And when the people did what it was they were told to do, then they received His blessing. And it's sad also that many people misunderstand the cross. We've talked before about how the cross today has become, you know, so commonplace. You know, there are people that are not really religious at all in the way that they live their life. They may have a tattoo of a cross on their arm. They may be wearing a cross around their neck, and they may be wearing that symbol on them when they're doing things that are very immoral and ungodly. And they misunderstand the cross and don't really think about what it is that it represents. And it's sad that many people misunderstand it, but what it is, it represents a powerful act that Jesus performed for us. And many people fail to think about the benefits of it, the benefits of His death. They may appeal to the cross in some vague way, but they really don't obey the voice of Christ. And when we don't do that, it doesn't heal us. Men need to hear what Jesus said in order to be healed spiritually. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. These are the words of Christ to His disciples before He ascended. But many people do not hear these words of Christ and obey them. And if they want to take advantage of Christ being lifted up on that cross, they need to hear what He said and they need to be obedient to it. In John chapter 8 and verse 28, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Now Jesus is addressing this to the very people that are going to kill Him. Jesus, in effect, is saying, you're going to kill me, but as a result of you killing me, you're going to find out who I am. And so how is that going to happen? Jesus is referencing the effect of His resurrection. You know, they're going to kill Him, and then He is going to be raised from the dead. Now, there were some at that time that already had an idea of who Jesus was. Martha, the sister of Mary and Lazarus, knew who He was. John 11, verse 27, she said to Him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." She knew who He was. Excuse me. Peter and the other apostles knew who Jesus was. Matthew 16, verse 16, on the Mount of Transfiguration, as Peter makes that statement, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter knew who he was. John chapter 16, verse 30, we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. That is why we believe that you came from God. The centurion who was witnessing the death of Jesus knew who he was. Matthew chapter 27, verse 54, when the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. And then Peter identified on Pentecost the identity of Jesus. Some of these people knew before Jesus died and was resurrected who Jesus was. But it was made very clear to many more people on the day of Pentecost as Peter preached to them and revealed to them who it was that they had killed. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Skipping to verse 32, Peter says, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. So he identified who Jesus was. He's the one that you killed, and you ignored all of the signs that God did through him. And Jesus was raised up, and we have been eyewitnesses of that. Verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, the Jesus whom you crucified. So Peter is identifying who Jesus is and confirming the identity of Jesus. Think again about what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 28. Jesus' point is even his enemies are going to know who he is. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus offers evidence through his resurrection that the Jews could not deny his claims, and the miracle of his resurrection authenticated every claim and furnished proof that Jesus was going to be the one that would come later to judge the world. Acts chapter 17, verse 31 says, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. And John makes this clear in John chapter 5, verse 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. He has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of God. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil to the resurrection of death. Again, Jesus says, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. It's a shame many of them didn't figure that out before they lifted him up, but that's what they did. They lifted him up, and because of the things that happened after that, it was made more clear to them that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. So again, the lifting up is the death of Christ. Lifting Jesus up refers to his death. Also in John chapter 12, John chapter 12 and verse 32, John says, and when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? So these words were to a mixed crowd of people, probably disciples and Pharisees and Gentiles. And when we think about the cross, I think in some ways when we think about the cross, we think of it as something that's beautiful because of what came from it. But really, it's not about being beautiful here. It's about being something that's kind of ugly. Because of what it is that they did to Christ. The power of the cross comes from the love that Christ had for us and the compassion and for the forgiveness that's offered to sinful men. So, I guess you could say that in one way it's something that's very beautiful, but in another way it's something that's very ugly because of what people did to Christ. Again, Jesus said, I'm lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all people to myself. And John goes on to further explain this by saying, he did this to show by what kind of death he would die. So the Jews to whom Jesus spoke may have understood that he was talking about death. And John certainly understood that. But then we see that there's some people that question it. You know, how can the Messiah die? And even Jesus' own disciples had questions about that. And his enemies use this argument and say, well, he can't be the Messiah if he's going to die, because there are a lot of people that were looking for a physical Savior, somebody that was going to establish a physical kingdom. Well, if he's going to die, how can he be the one? Because they didn't understand the mission. So even his friends and followers, you know, puzzled over the fact that he would die, but yet he's somehow the Messiah. Because that was the common notion that the Jewish people had. They didn't see him as one who would die. They looked for him as a king who's going to usher them into some kind of golden age, not a suffering Savior. But we, on the other side here, it's hard for us to conceive of Christ who would not die for our sins. But that's not something that they saw at this point. But Jesus did what no other man in his time expected him to do. He died for our sins. And so that's part of the drawing power of the gospel. In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. You know, sometimes people seem to be waiting for something else to happen, for God to do something else to save them. But the gospel message here, it confirms that Jesus is God's Son. It also reveals to us what it is that we need to be saved. Everyone who has learned and heard from the Father comes to me. We come to Christ, we look to Christ, we look to His death and His resurrection, and His death and His resurrection confirm who He is. Is there really anything else that we need to know? Matthew chapter 27, verse 44 says, when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake take place and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. You know, the earthquake and the things that happened convinced him that Jesus was telling the truth. You know, there's coming another day when Jesus will come in judgment. And it's a day when people will acknowledge Christ who never acknowledged him before. The centurion didn't really have to wait for the earthquake to be able to acknowledge Christ. There was lots of evidence of who Christ was long before that earthquake. And people will wait until it is too late to acknowledge Christ. So what we need to remember is all these references to Christ being lifted up, it's for a purpose. When we hear about lifting up Christ, it's not about lifting Him up in praise. We need to praise and glorify Him. But every one of these passages that talk about lifting up Christ, it's talking about death. It's talking about in the manner of which Christ is going to die. The question is, have we allowed the cross to draw us to Christ? Christ said that when He's lifted up, it's going to draw people to Him. Well, has it drawn us to Him? It should be hard for us not to love Christ, because He did for us what no one else could do for us. He did what we can't do for ourselves. And He died so that we can be saved. So do we look to Christ? Do we look at His death? Are we thankful for what it is that He did for us? If we are truly thankful for what He did, it'll evidence itself in the way that we live. We'll show gratitude in the way that we live our life. And it starts by being obedient to Him in baptism. And there are many people that were touched by the words of Peter on the day of Pentecost. People that should have been able to see before who Christ was. It all became more clear when Peter laid it out to them, and they were pricked in their hearts because they realized that they were guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the reality is we're responsible also for the death of Christ because of the sins in our life. Just as guilty as those on the day of Pentecost. And we need to do the same thing. We need to be drawn to Christ and be buried in baptism to have our sins washed away and live a life of thankfulness to Christ that we have the opportunity to be with Him in eternity. We can help in any way to be obedient and recognize how Christ was lifted up for you. We'd like you to come while we stand together and sing.